This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. The U.S. military estimates that it has completed more than half of its withdrawal from Afghanistan, a pace that appears far ahead of the September 11th deadline set by President Joe Biden in April. Biden ordered American troops to leave Afghanistan by September 11th after nearly 20 years of military involvement in the war-torn country. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg announced Monday at an Atlantic Council event that the decision for the U.S.-led NATO force to leave Afghanistan entails risk, but added that NATO built and trained Afghan security forces to take responsibility for security in their own country. The withdrawal has sparked fears that Afghanistan's civil war could intensify and spiral out of control. A number of Afghan civilians have been killed in a string of attacks since May the 1st, when the United States formally began its withdrawal, and the Taliban have made territorial gains across the country. U.S. defense officials have pledged to continue financial support for Afghan security forces and to provide help to Afghanistan's Air Force. Pakistan has formally conveyed to the United States that Islamabad will not provide military bases to Washington for counterterrorism operations in Afghanistan after all international troops exit the war-torn country. Several top Pakistani government officials, privy to a flurry of recent high-level bilateral talks, shared some details Tuesday of the discussions with VOA on condition of anonymity because they're not authorized to speak with the media. A Pakistani official who deals with national security matters told VOA that Pakistan doesn't want terrorism, but said there will be no bases possible on Pakistani soil. He said negotiators have stopped raising the issue in the talks. From Washington, this is VOA News. While coronavirus infection rates and hospitalizations continue to plummet across the United States, the White House COVID-19 response team said on Tuesday that the Delta variant strain of the virus that causes the disease still poses a threat, particularly among younger people. During the response team's regular virtual news briefing, U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Rochelle Walensky told reporters the latest daily average of new cases fell by 30% over the past week and 90% since the start of the year. She said it was also the lowest daily average since March of last year. She said hospitalizations are also down again this week and have fallen by about 83% since the year began, and she credits those numbers to people getting vaccinated. The White House's top advisor on the pandemic, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said, however, that variant strains of the virus continue to pose a threat, particularly what is known as the Delta variant, which originally was identified in India. Fauci said the Delta variant has also become the dominant strain in Britain, and most of those cases are in young people. Pfizer says it will expand testing of its COVID-19 vaccine to children younger than 12. The drug company, along with its German partner BioNTech, will enroll 4,500 children as volunteers at more than 90 places in the United States, Finland, Poland, and Spain. The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine already has been given authorization for emergency use for those older than 12 in the United States and in Europe. The UN Security Council gave its blessing Tuesday to a second term for Secretary General Antonio Guterres. The council released a statement saying it recommends Guterres be appointed for a second term to last from next January to December of 2026. Guterres's nomination will next move to the 193-member General Assembly. It is likely to be approved in a consensus vote, which is to be held on June the 18th. The 15-nation Security Council's approval is critical because any of the five permanent members could block the nomination. And those permanent members are Britain, China, France, Russia, and the United States. A number of major websites went down early Tuesday because of an outage at the cloud services company Fastly. The affected sites included news agencies CNN, The Guardian, The New York Times, streaming platform Twitch, and the British government website. All were back in line, online within a period of hours. The outage also forced CNN's website offline in the Asian cities of Hong Kong and Singapore. There was little mention of the outage on social media platforms in China, where most foreign media websites are permanently blocked. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.